Following program is paid for by Glazer & Associates. The views and opinions expressed in this content do not reflect those of 850 WFTL.
Good morning, and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs. We're here each Sunday at 11 on 850 WFTL in South Florida. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs PA. His mom's with him, by the way. Eric is board certified by the Florida Bar in Condominium and Plan Development Law. We love her. And the firm also has offices in Fort Lauderdale and is available for appointment in Orlando, Tallahassee, and Nashville. We're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. We'd love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions, no matter where you are in the state. Give us a call right here in the studio. In fact, the lines are already almost booked up here. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. It's toll free. Free advice you can't lose. So again, that is going to be if you want to call, but if you want to email your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
All right. Good morning, everybody. And of course, if you're a fan of the show, and if you like to read our blogs and newsletters, make sure to go to our website, CondoCrazeAndHOAs.com. Join our email list. By joining each week, you get announcements about the show, the blogs, the free seminars. We just did one this week. Newsletters. We always give updates on the law and a whole lot more. Monday morning, we do a blog, of course, for like the last 10 years. You can find it at HOA-CondoBlog.com. Again, HOA-CondoBlog.com. Tomorrow's topic, to open or not to open. Yeah,
man.
And that seems to be the majority of questions we've been getting over the last
few
weeks.
We're still in phase one down here.
Right, exactly. And unfortunately, over the last few days, the numbers are trending up also.
This becomes more and more relevant. I don't know if there's any correlation to the opening and the numbers yet.
Well, they're saying testing has tripled, and that's why the numbers are going up.
Yeah.
But it looks like hospitalizations are also going up. So that's what scares me a little bit.
Well, that's scary. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, but before we get going this morning, just want to thank everybody who joined me on Thursday night. Karen, I swear Thursday night was nuts.
I love it.
We had our board certification class online. Awesome. We had 100 people on the call, 104 actually, I think it was.
Wow.
And again, all on video.
Everybody
Karen,
dressed?
There's nothing that I saw that was, you know, accidental in nature, let's put it that way. But let's put it this way. We had literally every single corner of this state covered.
Cool.
We had, I can't tell you how many people chimed in from the Panhandle, Northern Florida, like Jacksonville, Ocala, the West Coast, Sarasota, Tampa, and of course all here on the East Coast and Dade and Broward and Palm Beach counties. It was wild. I mean, a true great mix of Floridians that took the class. We all wound up speaking with each other after and taking questions. It was a wonderful time had by all. Anybody who tuned in on Thursday, if you want to let us know what you thought, again, give us a call at the studio, 877-850-8585. But
I remember when you started the course.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the guy that invented it. And now look at where you are. It's so amazing.
Awesome. I'm having so much fun with it. You know, we were concerned. We had so many live events planned, and unfortunately, they all had to be canceled. I'm like, what do you do?
Yeah.
And, well, this worked out incredibly well.
I have a question, too. Did anyone from Mexico Beach call in? Because, remember, everything was destroyed there, and they still had to pay their assessments after Hurricane
Michael. Yeah, we represent people up there in Mexico Beach, and you know, the same types of issues happen then as now. Even when your condo falls apart, there's still obligations to pay the bills. And people are like, what do you mean I can't live there? How can I have to pay assessments? Well, guess what? The insurance still has to be paid, right? There's all kinds of costs that continue, even though, you know, parts of the building are blown away. And even now, of course, we're having those types of questions. The pool is closed. I don't want to pay maintenance anymore.
That's right.
Or my
right.
maintenance should be reduced. It doesn't work that way.
No.
You know? And unfortunately, some people
still have to clean it.
don't understand that. Exactly, Karen. And there's still electric bills and insurance bills and, you know, and employee personnel to pay. And none of that goes away. So just because the pool is closed doesn't mean you get a break in your assessments going forward.
Okay. Right.
But bottom line, just like last week, more important national issues. You know, we're watching portions of our cities get taken over, and by at least in some situations, hoodlums are just burning down the cities, businesses, and even look what we're watching in Seattle, Washington. Police being forced to walk away from their police stations.
Yep.
You know, this is something that we never thought we'd see in our country, but it's happening. And the really sad part at this point, the police are just so demoralized at this point. It's terrible.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, in fact, yesterday, the SWAT team members of the Hallandale Beach Police Department all quit the SWAT team, which is, you know, that's an honor to be on the SWAT team.
Can you imagine? They all quit. It was amazing.
They said they have been treated worse than dogs.
Yep. That was actually their quote. And it's funny. Ironically, it was the city of Hallandale Beach Police Department who protected me one night at a condo meeting from a person.
Oh,
who
really?
It was high on God knows what, came after me. Escorted me to my car after when all was done. And I can tell you, as the years have gone on, I certainly see a rise in the number of condos and HOAs using police officers to keep order at board and unit owner meetings. Now, a lot of unit owners say, can you imagine? They had the nerve, our board, to hire police officers. We're not animals. We can go. Well, let me tell you something. I've seen some crazy things, violence break out at board meetings before. So I'm absolutely, and especially now when social distancing is required, if you think there's going to be trouble at your condo or HOA meeting, yeah, have a police officer there. I think it's pretty important.
Yeah, absolutely it is. You know, obviously, for things that are going to spiral out of control, you need to have an officer there. But in light of what we're seeing on every TV now, it calls and the calls to defund the police, how's it going to be possible to continue to get men and women interested in coming or remaining on the police force? I mean, who's going to want the job?
Yeah, well, you know, despite all the calls out there to defund the police, I'm actually going the other way. You know, law enforcement officers protect my family, my home, my business, right, my community every day, while putting their own lives on the line, and they're really the very reason why there's not complete anarchy in our streets all the time. So instead of defund the police, I'm going with defend the police. And really, I think we need a dramatic increase in funding to our police departments in every state, every city, every county and town in our country. And in light of the violence that's now engulfed the country, I really want to see an increase in the number of officers on our streets.
I want to
increase their pay. I want to give them every possible resource they need to keep our streets safe and to keep themselves safe. Again, don't defund, but defend, and massively increase funding.
And that's what the president says, which, by the way, his first rally back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 300,000 people have signed up.
Amazing. I mean, and Joe Biden had 170 the other day.
Oh, Lord. Oh. Yeah. And we keep seeing interviews of officers on TV talking about how bad the morale is among the police. But, you know, this incident that happened in Atlanta didn't help.
Terrible. No, it didn't help. You know, but before we rush to judgment on that, right, this is not the Floyd incident. This is not a George Floyd case. We have a situation where perhaps what the video shows is after fist fighting, one of the officer's weapons was taken away, the taser was taken away, and in that split second, apparently, unfortunately, the gentleman who was shot turned around, and it appears as if he pointed at that taser at one of the officers. And if that's the case, and I'm saying if that's the case, you go be that officer and make a split decision in a tenth of a second whether or not you should fire if you have a taser pointed at your head. I'm not ready to second-guess that decision yet at this point. Do I feel bad that the guy is dead? Of course. Terrible. Shouldn't have happened. I wish it didn't happen. But I don't think I have a right to second-guess an officer who has a taser pointed at his head and whether or not he should fire back in a tenth of a second split decision-making. You know, that's certainly not for me to decide.
But given the time and the environment we're in, shouldn't,
you know, when you have a taser pointed at your head, you know, and you can wind up getting tased in your face and your neck and you maybe lose an eye, I don't think you're thinking about the environment that we're in at the moment. I think you're thinking about preserving your own life.
But maybe you would be if the police chief had sat everybody down and said, please don't, you know,
get
involved,
yeah.
Let him run. We can arrest him later. That may be why the police chief resigned.
But he wasn't just running, is my thing. If he was running, maybe that's one thing.
But they chased him. If they just let him go.
But the second he turned around and pointed a taser at one of the officers, all bets are off. That's how I look at it. Am I saying I'm right? Yeah, I don't know. That might be for a jury to decide. But on this one, again, officers are asked to make these kind of decisions all the time, and they got about a tenth of a second to decide whether or not they're making the right move. And I'm not going to second guess them. I'm lining up on the side of law enforcement on this. But it's funny, Karen. I worked with so many police officers who not only serve their community in law enforcement, but somehow they find time to come home and serve on their condo or HOA board.
Oh, really? There's officers on the board?
Many officers, you know.
Well,
it's a lot of A personalities, quite frankly. And, you know, they want to be president and stuff like that and try to run their organization, their corporation, their HOA or condo in a law enforcement type fashion, you know, strict. We want to follow the rules here. But I think what you're seeing on TV is not what the overwhelming majority of Americans feel. I think Americans are proud of you as a whole and thank you immensely for everything you do. And majority of Americans are behind you 100%. No question there's a few bad apples out there. No question about it. There's also a few bad apples in terms of the legal profession.
There's
the doctors,
bad apples everywhere.
Everywhere, right. But the actions of a few don't define what the rest of
the
you
poor
do.
Poor apple. I mean.
Yeah. I feel bad that their morale is low. So, guys, women, stand proud and tall. Do your job with pride. I can tell you Americans support you, and we certainly support you on this show. Let's do this. I know the phones are stacked. Take our first break of the hour. We'd love to know how our listeners feel on this topic as well. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be right back after this.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
This message is for anyone who has taken on the important responsibility of becoming an officer or director in a homeowner or condominium association. It is also for the management companies who work closely with these caring people to make sure things are done the right way. Hello, I'm Gil Pomar, South Florida Regional President for CenterState Bank, now the second largest bank based in Florida. Our bank, CenterState Bank, has an amazing team of professionals who are exclusively dedicated to the homeowner and condo association market. Your job is not easy. There are repairs and new projects that need financing. There are legal and social issues that need to be understood. There are also technology and servicing issues that your residents want to be improved. Why not choose a bank that knows this business backward and forward? Why not have a local banker who will meet with you face to face whenever it is convenient for you or your board? CenterState Bank has over 2,000 associations as customers for a reason. Please give us a chance to earn your business. Call Terry Russo at 954-633-1666 to make it happen. CenterState Bank is an equal housing lender and a member of the FDIC.
Is your condo or HOA paying too much to heat the pool or spa? If so, now's the time to switch to geothermal technology with Symbiont Service Corporation. Geothermal technology with Symbiont Service is eco-friendly, green technology that harnesses the energy stored beneath the Earth's surface to heat and cool your swimming pool. Geothermal technology not only helps you reduce your carbon footprint, but rest assured, you can't beat geothermal for reliability and performance. It's even unaffected by air temperature. Best of all, Symbiont Service's geothermal solution heats like gas at a fraction of the cost and with a serviceable life expectancy of 15 to 20 years, which is 2 to 3 times as long as conventional pool heaters or more. And get this, geothermal technology by Symbiont Service can actually cool your pool in the summer months. Symbiont Service serves the entire state of Florida. Go geothermal now. Find out how Symbiont Service can heat or cool your pool and save you money. Call Symbiont Service at 800-881-4328. That's 800-881-4328. And to learn more about Symbiont Service and read the amazing customer reviews, visit geothermalflorida.com.
I'm never-
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer and Sachs taking your calls on everything condo and HOA related. Phones are stacked. Go for it, Eric.
All right. How about we go to June in Royal Palm Beach? How are you, June?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, my name is June. I'm from Royal Palm. My question is, we are redoing our bylaws at this time. Everything is done on the computer due to not being able to get together.
Right.
We are a senior neighborhood. They've been submitted. Several of the neighbors, there's a form to fill out either saying, yes, you agree and they can continue, or no, they have questions. Several of our neighbors in here have said no, and a board member has gone to those people that have said no and made them change their vote to yes. One neighbor said no, then yes, then no. Is this legal?
You know, I never understood when someone takes that position. They made them change their vote. How do you make someone change their vote? You hold a gun to their head? That's not happening. These people change their vote of their own free will. You can't make anybody change your vote. So maybe that board member went there, explained, and the people voluntarily changed their vote. That's what actually happened. Right?
After they talked to me, they were very upset. And then they said, forget it. I told them, tear them all up. I'm not voting at all.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with anybody on the board answering questions, right, about what does this amendment mean? Hey, what does it mean if I vote this certain way? Nothing wrong with a board member doing that. Just the opposite. And to take the position, he made me do it. Just so you know, there's a lot of cases out there, like in recall cases specifically, where people say, well, they lied to me about why the recall is going on. I would have voted the other. Those defenses always fail. In other words, the arbitrator's looking at it. You're all big boys and girls, right? Nobody makes you do anything. You changed your vote because you wanted to change your vote. Okay? That's how the law looks at it, June. Thank you. How about we go to Ken in Orlando? How about it, Ken?
Hey, good morning, Karen and Eric.
Hey, how are
Orlando.
You?
Hey, my question is about homeowners associations. One of our five-bedroom homes just sold and they contracted this week. And I've been getting calls from the realtor, from the owner, and from the buyer. And their intention is to be able to rent out some of the rooms to college kids.
Okay.
And our property rights in our docs state that a single family shall mean refer to, persons related by blood or marriage or not more than two unrelated people and their dependents.
Yep.
So we told them this and we sent them copies of it.
I think that's enforceable. The idea, and there might be other provisions of your documents, right, that say, specific rooms can't be rented out. You can't rent out, this room to this person, this room to that person. You can't do that. There's oftentimes those types of provisions are found in your governing documents. So, yes, that's very possible that you will be able to enforce those restrictions in your governing documents. It's meant as a family community, not meant to be a college dormitory. So, yeah, I think you would definitely have a shot at enforcing those provisions. Okay?
Good. I appreciate it.
Thank you
all very much.
Yeah. Pretty interesting when you go to Orlando now because you have obviously the Airbnb situation that has taken over the country, quite frankly, has really hit places like Orlando hard, right? And a lot of people like Ken are pretty upset that they now live in a community where Airbnb is running rampant, and the home right next door to them is being rented out to a different family a few times a week. So, Karen, you're seeing developers now for the first time, right? They're actually advertising. Like you'll drive on a highway, in Orlando on I-4 or something, and you'll see a sign that says, new community, no Airbnb allowed.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a big selling point with new communities in Orlando, specifically no Airbnb allowed. Yeah, I get it. How about we go to John in Jupiter? Jupiter, John, how are you?
Good morning, counselor, and I agree 100% what you said earlier about the police. Happy birthday, Mr. President, and happy Flag Day to all.
That's right. Today is the President's birthday.
All
happy birthday,
above.
Mr. President. 74. I should be so active at 74.
And right? Flag Day. So he's a very patriotic guy.
Exactly.
That's why he's always hugging it.
Yep, exactly. What's going on, John?
I wanted to ask you, of course, with this level opening in Florida, we've been kind of ahead of the game, ahead of other states. And our clubhouse, the office, was actually to put the bicycle lock around the front of the doors. We could never get a hold of our manager. And as it turns out, a week before our election, we were supposed to have our annual meeting. And the very day before, they had the Florida primaries. But then they decided to cancel our annual meeting, which is our annual election also.
Yep.
So now what they want to do is they want to do everything Zoom.
Yeah.
And what happened was the week before the election, one of the officers resigned. But
okay.
Nobody bothered to tell the community.
Okay.
And they still haven't posted it. So my question is this. We had three candidates.
Yeah.
Why not tell the community one of the officers resigned and put them on the ballot?
So maybe I don't understand. You had this is an HOA election or a condo election?
Condo.
Okay, condo. So you were supposed to have an election. There were how many people running for how many seats?
There were five people running for three seats.
Okay, so you're going to have election, but that election was now canceled. But now you're saying one of the current people that are on the board quit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So really how it works is the two that are sitting there, it would only be for a short time, but the two that are sitting there have a right to fill that vacancy until the actual next election. Now, I want to address one thing, and it might not be the basis for your question, but I think it's important because your question touched on an interesting topic right now. Because you said your board wants to do everything by Zoom, right? Everything.
So does Eric.
Yes. Okay, so as of June 1st, if you may recall for about a few months here, we had emergency power statute that was in effect that allowed the board all kinds of different powers to cancel meetings and hold meetings in a different manners than what's required by the statute. Well, you know, like in-person meetings who are normally required under the statute. For a while, boards were getting away with Zoom meetings. Well, guess what? On June 1st, right, last week, that all came to an end. Okay?
That's what I thought.
Yep. June 1st, that all came to an end. So we're back to compliance with the statute. You still have to maintain social distancing in accordance with your local county ordinances. So it's a double-edged sword here. So, yes, you still have to hold. Now you have to go back to actually holding physical meetings, but you have to comply with social distancing. So what I'm telling you, John, is in your community, when you have an annual meeting, you have to have a physical place. In your notice about the annual meeting, there should be an actual notice on the notice of the meeting. It needs to say where the meeting is going to be held. However, if you'd like to appear by Zoom, these are the instructions. That's how board should
be
doing
it. That's the way it should be.
Right. And by the way, John, John, you'd agree, you sound like a reasonable guy, that if we're going to have people show up in person, no problem requiring everybody to social distance and wear a mask, right?
Right, right. But I think after this, we're going to have more of this.
We have a clubhouse that can sit 50 people, and we can comfortably distance them by 6 feet if they're all wearing a mask. We can do that. We can arrange the chairs because some of them are couples, we're not going to separate the couples because they live together.
Mm-hmm.
But
correct.
But the people that don't know each other could easily be spaced apart, and I can't get through to them for the last 2 weeks. I mean, they posted the notice 2 weeks ago that we were going to have the election this Tuesday, the 16th.
Yeah.
So they don't want to. They don't want to listen to anybody. You know, they just want to just do what they want to do. So what's my recourse if they don't listen to me as far as having a physical meeting?
You can tell them that you understand that the emergency power. Write a certified letter. Send it overnight. See if you can get this changed. That on June 1st. The Secretary of the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, there's an order that he entered that specifically took away the emergency powers of the board. We're back to complying with Florida Statute 718. The board is required to have in-person meetings. They don't listen to that.
Secretary of State.
Secretary of the Department of Business and Professional Regulation.
Okay.
Halsey Bashirs is his name. Halsey Bashirs.
Halsey Bashirs.
Okay.
And real quick, what about the guy that resigned? I mean, shouldn't they post that he resigned instead of keeping
yes,
Twitter?
Certainly they should let everybody know at the next board meeting. Absolutely. And they have the right
to fill those. But it's not a requirement?
Well, how do you let them know? The only way you have to that you let them know is at a board. No, they're not required to send out notice to the community. No, they're not.
Yeah, as far as the statutes go, that's what I'm
Yeah, correct. That's all they're required to do, you know, is to fill that vacancy. Yeah. Okay, John?
Yeah. All right, fund the police. God bless you.
Thanks, John. All right, let's do this. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. Phones are stacked. Taking your calls, everybody. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Back right after this.
If your association has ever been through a major restoration or renovation project, you know it can be a complicated, expensive, and stressful undertaking. Noise, dust, unexpected problems, and that C word no one wants to hear, change orders. But it doesn't have to be chaotic. DSS Condo is here to help you through the condo project management process. Most projects go over schedule and over budget. Without an expert, independent advocate in their corner, associations are exposed to cost overruns, low quality results, and long-term disruption for owners. DSS Condo is Florida's leading association project management firm. They provide tailored, expert construction management services for all types and sizes of association projects, helping you maintain control of the chaos. DSS Condo now offers customizable project management packages that can be modified to meet your association's needs and budget, and now services Miami, Broward, Palm Beach, and Collier counties. Contact DSS at 305-985-3772 or by visiting dsscondo.com. That's 305-985-3772.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243, AffinityManagementServices.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Back to the the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. He specializes in community association law. So if you got a question about crazy stuff going on in your condo, HOA, or co-op, give us a call, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Even if you're a board member or you're just a resident, go ahead and give us a call.
Crazy stuff in condos or HOAs? Never.
Never.
All right. How about Tony in Fort Lauderdale? What's your crazy story?
Hey, good morning, Eric. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure thing.
I wanted you to confirm something, and then I had a quick question. On the board recall forms, they do not expire. Is that correct?
Right, correct. They do not.
Good.
And you can use them for one subsequent...
You started off the program with about unruly people.
Yeah.
May I ask your opinion, what do you do when they start name calling, I mean, from mild to fairly severe? What would you recommend?
Name calling where?
Situation.
Wait, name calling in what kind of a situation? You mean at a board meeting? You mean emails in the community? I don't know what you mean.
Throughout the community, it could be to the workers, it could be at the board meeting, it could be using four-letter words,
This is exactly why I said in the beginning of the show, we oftentimes now have situations where associations are employing police officers to maintain discipline, to maintain order at these board meetings. Many times people are asked to leave by these police officers. You're gonna curse, you're gonna call people names, out you go. Okay, it happens all the time.
Well, maybe I was not clear. This could happen around the pool, it could happen during the week. It's right. Not necessary at board meetings. It could happen any time.
So then the question becomes does the conduct rise to the level of what's called a nuisance under the law?
Okay.
So every set of documents from both condos and HOAs, you'll be hard-pressed to find a community that does not have a provision in their governing documents that say basically nuisance behavior is not allowed. Okay? So in a condo, for example, if you can get witnesses, and it all boils down to, quite frankly, having people come forward and actually sign affidavits or testify, saying, on the following dates, I went to the pool, I can't sit by the pool because, John Doe does not stop harassing me, does not stop cursing, does not stop whatever it is, and you have a bunch of people ready to testify in that manner, yes, you can get an arbitrator to say, you're going to confine what you say at the pool. You're not going to harass people at the pool and enter an order in that regard, an injunction. And that injunction becomes enforceable in a court of law.
Okay.
Okay. Now, everything I said, hold on, Tony. Nothing I said means anything unless you actually have people who are willing to come forward and appear in court if necessary. Okay. People complain all the time. And then I'll say, okay, we ready to go to court? Oh, you didn't say about anything about going to court. Well, how do you expect the judge to issue an injunction, unless the judge hears from you? So you got to have people ready to go. Okay?
Okay. And let me just, for a point of clarification, when does it become it's an opinion versus harassment? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I'm talking about somebody or whatever. I may not be directly talking.
Let me give you one example. In other words, you're saying opinion speech is generally protected, right? But
correct.
When your opinion crosses into, my board members are stealing, right? And you're accused of criminal behavior, that's defamation per se. You can sue the other person without even proof of damages. So I warn people, you better not make allegations like that against your board members unless you absolutely have the proof. Unless you have the goods.
Okay.
Thanks, Tony.
You're very good. And you're going to talk about those pets, right?
We're going to try to get to it, If the bottom line is when callers come in, then we take the callers. And when we can get to it, we certainly will. Okay? Thanks
a lot. Thank you so much, Eric.
You got it. How about we go to Maria in Hollywood?
Hi, Eric.
Hey, Maria. How are you?
Okay. I was listening to John from Jupiter, and I do also have a question, but am I to understand that we're no longer allowed to have Zoom?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I want to clarify this because it's important, and your question is really important. Absolutely have Zoom. Continue it. Karen, remember I spoke about this last week.
Yeah.
Just because the emergency power statute ended, right? And you guys have learned so many great things over the last few months. You've really, all of you, you know, even the most elderly of people who are listening to the show, all learned how to use the computer, all learned how to sign on to Zoom. There's probably never been greater participation at board meetings than there has been over the last few weeks. Why? Because people are able to log in now through Zoom or through telephone conferences.
There's going to be a lot of changes.
So what I'm telling you, Maria, is boards should continue to do that. However, they still have to have a physical location for the meetings.
Oh.
Okay? So in other words, you still have to say, there will be a board meeting in the clubhouse, right? Sunday, June 14th. However, all of you are also welcome. Instead of coming, we encourage you, in light of the pandemic, to log on via Zoom. Okay. Here are the instructions. But you still now have to have a physical location that people can go to. Now, interestingly enough, though, that physical location, the board members, as you know, under the law, they have a right to appear at that physical location also through technology. Right? So again, the technology should be used, but what I'm saying is it can't be only technology. There are a lot of people that don't use the computer, that don't have access to the computer. So we need to make sure.
Well, who's going to run the meeting at the physical location?
Well, you can still have a situation where the president, who's typically chairman of the meeting, can run it, but run it by telephone or run it by a Zoom conference. But there still needs to be a physical. You have to assume or presume that not everybody has access to a computer. So where could they go? They have to have a place where they can go to see what's going on, to see and hear what's going on. Keep that in mind. Always, you want to do this right. Think about the person that doesn't have access, right? They got to be able to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, our problem is, you know, running the meeting there, too. That's our problem. But, all right, so we'll figure that out. Anyways, my question is, we hired a management company about a year and a half ago, and in their contract, they stipulate that they do the estoppel letters, and they charge. Now we're at the point where we do have a unit that's being sold, and my question is, does this estoppel letter have to come through the board to be signed?
Does the estoppel letter have to be signed by the board? No, it does not have to be signed by the board. I don't believe it does. We issue estoppel letters to our law firm, you know, all the time. So, no, but I will tell you this. You want to make sure that if your management company is doing the estoppel letters, you can certainly have a policy with them that says, hey, we want to see it before it goes out, number one. And number two, what you definitely want to make sure of is if that unit that's being sold is already with legal, it's already at an attorney's office for a collection matter, you certainly want to make sure that it's not the management company that's preparing the estoppel letter. You want to make sure that it's the law firm that's preparing it, because the management company may not know about all the attorney's fees and interest and late fees and court costs that have accumulated once that file went to the attorney's office. So again, the management company could do it, and you can certainly have a policy that says we want to see it first. But your other policy should be, if this unit is already in collections with counsel, we want counsel doing the estoppel letter. Pretty important. Okay, when that's not done, a lot of expenses get missed, and you're stuck with that estoppel letter. People rely on it. And the number you give, that's the only number they have to pay. So you got to be careful. Thanks for the call, Maria. We got to take our final break of the hour, everybody, taking your calls. 877, don't wait for the last minute, by the way. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or paint painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen, and Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Someday, you will need insurance, and for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. It is the last 15 minutes of the show, so don't wait to the very, very end to call Eric. The number is 877-850-8585, and we are stacked.
All right, who do we got? We got, is it Kay in Hollidale? Or Jordan?
Hey, yes. My questions are, if a board member charged a plane ticket among other non-essential items to the condominium association credit card, back in 2013 to 2015, but it has just been discovered when going through records, what could we do regarding that board member that's still on the board for 15 years now? Could we remove that board member? Is there any accountability?
Okay,
we also found a bank account that we didn't know about that same board member was managing. By themselves without a federal ID number or anything of that nature. So we don't know what to do.
Okay. So in terms of the airline charges, you know, a lot of times you'll have persons who own their condo unit down here or HOA, their home. they'll serve on the board, and they'll say, well, they wanted me to come back for a meeting, you know, and therefore I have the association pay for my airplane tickets to come back here. No, absolutely not. Can't be done. But you're telling me this happened in 2013, right? So in
2013, right, we just discovered the charges going through records.
Yeah,
among other non-essential items like a sofa, a stove.
What do you mean a sofa and a stove? Did the person buy themselves a sofa and a stove with association funds?
Right.
And this also happened in 2013 or 2015?
Right, yes.
Okay. Well, if it was just the airplane tickets, I'd say, okay, maybe an honest mistake, because that's happened a million times over the years. But if you're telling me that and I want to make sure I understand this, you're telling me that a board member took association money to buy themselves a sofa for their house and a stove for their house. Okay, that's a crime.
Plane tickets to go see their family.
Okay, it's the other way around, to see their family. Unquestionably a crime.
Right.
You shouldn't be talking to me. You should be talking to the police. Okay, go to the police. Report it as a crime. Now, might the statute of limitations have passed by now? Yes, it might have passed by now. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. And is that something the community should be made aware of? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And should a recall of the board member go into effect at a minimum? Absolutely. And is it possible, we'd have to know more, that the association should demand the money back from this person? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if not, sue them? Absolutely. Okay, so you have you have some homework to do. But there's no question, if what you're telling me is the truth, then what happened is a crime. So I'd start off at the police department.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right, good luck. How about we go? Hey, do we ever go to George in Tampa?
No, I don't think so.
No, then let's go to George in Tampa.
George?
How are you, George? You there? Hey, sorry we skipped you, George. How are you?
Sit back down. Small condominium association, 18 units. Three board members. One owner became very irate at the current president and went around and collected, I believe she said, the majority of recall notices on that officer.
Right.
We found out, as a board member, I found out on Thursday when the condo association said we were having a meeting this Tuesday for the purpose of recalling the president. Now, I'm looking at the procedures for recall. It's the state Florida license. It's dated 2005. There may be something more up to date. But in here, it seems to indicate that the board is supposed to call the meeting, not the property management company.
Well, the board probably asked the property management company to set the meeting. So how it works is
I'm on the board, and I talked to the other two members of the board, and they knew nothing about it until I got the email.
Was the association served with the recall ballots?
No, the person collected them and delivered them to the property manager.
Okay, so the property manager then probably said, okay, we got to do the right thing, because by law, right, really what should have happened immediately was when the property manager got served with those recall ballots, the first thing that a property management company should do should be, A, of course, tell the board members, and B, tell counsel for the association. So that council makes sure that the board now acts in accordance with their duties under the recall statute. So the board is required to hold a meeting within 5 days, and I'm guessing the management company knew that and decided to set that meeting because they know you have a five-day deadline. If you don't have that meeting within 5 days, right, the board members are automatically recalled. You lose whatever defenses you might have at that point. So do I think the management company might have meant well? Yeah, they might have meant well by making sure that a meeting was set within 5 days. But really what they need to do immediately, let the association attorney know. I can tell you, for them not to have done that, that's a wrong move. That's a wrong move. Okay? Thanks for the call, George.
So they should not have called the meeting about going to the
No, they should. No, they should certainly have told, have on that type of a situation. What happens after you get served with recall ballots requires a legal analysis that managers are not allowed to make based upon a ruling of the Florida Supreme Court in 2015. right? They're not allowed to give legal advice to the association. So when they got served with the recall ballots, what they were supposed to do, let the association's counsel know immediately and let the attorney call the shots as to what to do next. Okay? That was the right move.
Okay, I have one follow-up question. If a person owns three units, do they need to fill out three recall ballots for it to be official?
One-sixth of the whole thing?
That's a great question.
Accounts for all three units.
That's a really good question, and I don't know the answer to it, to be quite frank. So, yeah, you stumped me on that. I'm gonna say that, yeah, probably do need to fill out three, but I don't want to say for sure, but I'd be glad to look that up.
That's like one-sixth of the place, though.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's really a lot. That has a lot of weight.
The next thing is they said in the letter that they would be removing the current president of the recall and that they would be appointing a replacement. Now, when I look at the statutes, it says that only if the majority of the board is recalled would there be a need to replace.
No, you're confused. So on the form, when you're recalling a majority of board members, when you use that form, you have to have replacement members immediately ready to step up and take the boards, the people that are kicked off, to take their position. But if only one person is recalled, George, you got to let me finish. So if one person is being recalled, let's say there's a three-member board and one person is being recalled. If the board certifies that recall, right, so now that person's gone, the remaining board members, since less than a majority are being recalled, the remaining two board members do, in fact, have the right to fill that vacancy. Okay? Got to keep going. How about we go to Sandra in Miami?
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Eric. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
My question is, I have a condo, and I requested some records from the board and the management because I'm thinking they're not doing what they're supposed to do. So I sent a certified mail, a return receipt. My question is, when should I expect this for them to give me the information? And if they don't, what do I do?
Okay, so they have to give you access to these records. You didn't ask them to mail it to you, right? Make you copies? What does your letter say? Does your letter say, I want access?
Yes.
Okay, so they have to give you access within 10 business days. If they don't, technically under the statute, you would now have a right to file an arbitration action against them. Get a $500 penalty against them. Get your costs and attorney's fees paid for when you win, and get an injunction requiring them to turn over the records to you. That's under the Florida Condominium Act. All those rights are afforded to you when the association doesn't give you access within 10 days.
So if I did this return receipt, do I wait until they get the receipt and I take action? Or?
Yeah, you know, it's great because now you can have proof. Even if you don't get back the actual green card, you can go online. I think it's to USPS.gov, United States Postal Service.gov, and you can track it, and you can show exactly when they signed for it. So you want to count the 10 business days from there.
So wait 10 days, and if they don't do that, then I can go and get legal counsel on that, correct?
Correct. Then you certainly can. Yep, that's how it works, Sandra. Okay, thank you. All right, happy go to Pat in Tamarack. How are you, Pat?
Hi, good. Thank you for taking my call, Eric.
Sure.
I have a quick question about the Zoom meetings, and you're saying that there has to be a physical location.
Yes.
So that means that the board has to be, like, at the clubhouse, and then all the residents are on Zoom?
No.
Or can some residents come to the clubhouse?
Again, you have to think of it this way. What does the person that doesn't have a computer do?
Do, right.
Okay?
Okay.
So there has to be a physical location for them to go to so that they can see and hear what's going on at their condo.
But can't you go on your phone on Zoom?
Okay.
Suppose they don't have a cell phone. We did not throw out completely in-person meetings. Okay? The bottom line is the emergency power statute is now over. It's done with. So think about the person that wants to participate in their condo or HOA meeting, but they don't have a computer at home. They still have a right to attend someplace, right? To go someplace.
Is there a limit on how many people come in? Because how much
yes,
do we ask?
That, That's a great question, Pat, right? That's a great question.
Right.
So now the association's in a tough position because they still have to have the right of people to come, but they also have to make sure under county ordinances and state ordinances that are still in effect right now that if they're having these meetings, they have to maintain social distancing. Right?
Right.
So it's a double-edged sword. You have to let people come, so you have to space it out. Okay, but you do, at this point, have an obligation to actually have a physical place where people can go. And you can certainly make reasonable rules that say, okay, we're going to comply. We're going to have a physical location that people can go to. Got to wear masks.
Right.
Got to social distance. Right. Right?
Okay.
And if board members are going to appear electronically, right, either through a telephone call or through Zooms, then there has to be a device present at that location where the unit owners can hear the board members and the board members can hear the unit owners. Okay?
Okay. All right.
So a little complicated, but, you know, certainly something that's doable.
Right, because, like, you know, if we let 10 people in and then the 11th person wants to come in, how can we say, you know,
you
no
can't.
To them?
If you can't maintain social distancing, they can't come in. I mean, that's the only way I can't tell you to violate social distancing.
And is this written anywhere so I could show it to the rest of the board?
Yeah, I'd be glad. Contact my office tomorrow, and I'd be glad to send you a copy of the order that cancels the emergency powers of boards.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. And then what about, all right, I guess I'm too late, but could I ask about the dogs, the emotional dogs?
We got about 30 seconds.
Okay, go ahead, answer then.
Oh, what's the question? Answer the question about emotional
dogs. What's the new law about?
There's a whole bunch of new laws that we no way know how can we summarize that in 30 seconds. So sorry, we have to keep going. Okay,
we'll try next week.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
That actually brings us to the end of the show. Wow, you guys are amazing. We had the phone stacked before we even started today, and you kept me on my toes till the end. No, Karen, thanks for your help. VJ, thank you for your help. And again, of course, everybody, don't forget, if you need legal help off the air, give Glazer and Sachs a call. 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. Everybody have a safe week, a healthy week, and we'll speak to you again next Sunday at 11 on 850 WFTL Condo Craze and HOAs. Everybody have a great week.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.